Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to teach you in depth from the Psalms, one of the particular types of Psalms called Mizmor, the song that pierces and prunes. But first, a word about our ministry, which is called For His Glory. And we teach you about the deeper teachings of God. And that'll help increase the breadth and the length and the height and depth so you can comprehend with all the saints the things that God would have you know. Now, this concept about Mizmor, have you ever heard of that before? What, it's a Mizmor psalm, Danielle?
I haven't heard it.
Now, that you only see in the Hebrew, in the original. You don't see that in the English at all. Now, we did a teaching some time ago called Praise the Lord, Part A and Part B. They're very extensive, intensive tape series that are available through our ministry. We invite you to come to our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
And you'll find a 1-800 number there that has our fulfillment center, which will ship anywhere in the world, worldwide, 24/7, for your convenience. Now, there are different types of psalms. We have 150 psalms in the Bible. And first of all, if you look at your psalms carefully, the book of Psalms is actually divided into five books. I don't think that's commonly known. Have you ever heard that before, Danielle?
I have.
Ah, because you study.
I go to your class.
Now, well, that's wonderful. The book of Psalms is divided into five books. There's 150 psalms, but even in your English Bible, if you look for one example, book 1, it says, starts at Psalm 1 of the 150 psalms. It says book 2 starts at 42. That's very interesting. Then you go to Psalm 73, book 3. After that, you turn and you go to book number 4, and you're going to find book number 4. It's going to start at Psalm 90. And then you go to Psalm 107 for book 5. Now, what question would come to your mind? Well, do you have five books in a book of Psalms? Does that must mean...
It must mean something.
I would think it must mean something. What, out of all the possibilities, would be the right answer? The first five books of the Bible are called the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. And to the Jew, one of the ways we would study is you'll take the first five books, the books of Moses, as they're commonly called, with the five books of David, the Psalms. 150 Psalms composed of five books, and we just delineated for you what those divisions are. And book one of Psalms is to be read with Genesis, the first of the five books. Book 2 of Psalms is going to take you to Exodus. Book 3 of Psalms is going to take you to Leviticus. Book 4 of Psalms will take you to Numbers. Book 5, the last of the five books of the book of Psalms, will take you to Deuteronomy. So the five books of Psalms of the 150 chapters will give you a complement of study with the five books of Moses known as the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's fascinating. Often we see that in our Bible, even in English, and we look at it, we go, oh yeah, book one, if we even take the time to read it. We don't read it, we don't know how to use that information, and we miss. And unfortunately, one tragedy is not to know. Another is to be willingly ignorant and remain not knowing. Some things we don't know just by virtue of the fact, number one, that they are in God's domain, period, and ever will be, and not meant for men or angels. Two, there are things that we've not yet grown to, like if you're in the ninth grade, there are things that are beyond you at a scholastic level that you will yet grow into. The tragedy, though, exists at step three, where we're in ninth grade, and we have not paid attention, for example, to the things of that grade in schooling that we could have and should have learned, but chose not to. And that's a tragedy. The only thing worse than that about being willingly ignorant is to be satisfied in that place of ignorance. That is a travesty, because a soul and a mind are terrible things to waste. Are they not indeed?
Mm-hmm. What is a Mizmor psalm?
Good question. A mizmor psalm is an, actually that's the Hebrew term. In English you would spell it M-I-Z-M-O-R, mizmor. And that is a particular type of psalm of which the root of the word is zamar with a mem or like an M sound in front of it. When you translate the word zamar, Z-A-M-A-R, Z-A-M-A-R, which is the root of the whole word itself. The mem in front is actually the strengthening of the zamar. So it's a strong zamar. We still have to answer your question. You look at the word zamar in a Hebrew dictionary. The word zamar means song. So it's a song. Its secondary definition means prune, like to prune a tree or a bush or to prune something. Therefore, when you put those two concepts together, a zamar is a song that prunes. Actually, that is very important because there's a song that is to be sung. These can and should even be sung, at the very least, in your soul. And they are songs that are sung and songs that prune the soul, separating, if you will, the wheat from the chaff, the good from the evil, the right from the wrong, and purify the person. These are not only beautiful, which they are in every detail, but are meant to edify the soul, cleanse the soul, and bring the soul to a place of greater perfection, a place of greater growth. Okay? It's very important to know. The mem in front of the word zamar, from which you get mizmor, by position at a deeper study level that we're doing, makes it a strong mem, at the first position or the emphatic position in a word, makes it a strong zamar. Thus, a mizmor psalm is a psalm that is a strong song that prunes. Now, let's go a little deeper. First, I'm going to list for you, and I'll say it slow, but I'll say it once through, all of the mizmor psalms that are in the book of Psalms of the 150 Psalms.
What would you use a mizmor psalm for?
Good. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'll first list the psalms for you. Psalm 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 12, 13, 15, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 29, 30, 31, 38, 39, 40, 41, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 73, 75, 76, 77, 79, 80, 82, 83, 84, 85, 87, 88, 92, 98, 100, 101, 108, 109, 110, 139, 140, 141, 143. Out of the 150 Psalms, and I've checked these are mizmor psalms. So, again, what is a mizmor psalm first? It's a psalm that's a song that prunes. That is critical. And I'm going to show you how to use that first. We have to understand what it is in your hands before we see how to use it. We need to know what it is first. Now, the root of the word zamar, the root of the word zamar is mar, from which you get the terms like Miriam and other terms. That's a name. Mar means bitter or bitterness. So, z, the Z sound, right, zamar, is from the letter zayin. And a zayin is the seventh letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And a zayin means to cut or to pierce. So, zamar is going to prune, to cut, to pierce the bitter. It's going to cut that which is bitter. It's going to pierce that which is bitter. To prune the bitter, to prune. Now look at the letters M, Z, M, R. Zayin, Mem, Resh. These letters, Zayin, Mem, Resh, if we look at them with each individual letter's definition, and in Hebrew, at a deeper study, each letter has how many meanings for every letter?
Seven.
Perfect, great. Every letter has seven meanings. The Zayin means to cut or to pierce. The Mem in the middle position here and elsewhere than the initial position often is going to mean chaos. The Resh at the end means highest. as one of its definitions. So put those pictures together into a living movie, which a Hebrew word is, a living life. It has life that is alive. Therefore, this spirit life that's given to it, zamar, means to cut or to pierce the person's chaos, or to cut or to pierce the chaos of the person. We could flip that in English, to cut or to pierce the person's chaos, or the highest chaos. So a mizmor is a strong song that pierces the greatest chaos of the person. I'm going to say that again and slower. I want you to get it so you know what this kind of psalm is. So to answer Danielle's question, which is asked, I'm sure, for many, if not all of you, how do I use this? First, let's look at what the weapon is in your hand. So when you read these psalms, you read them with the intent and understanding to prune your soul, to get the junk out, to cleanse you, to purify you, to get all those dead branches cut off you, so you can be the man or woman or child, all children of God, and grow.
That is good.
Yes, amen. It helps so much because now you know how to drive. When you read a psalm, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, they're edifying, but each one is meant to do something different in a soul. So you know how, just like you take vitamins and minerals, or you do different types of exercise to get and yield a different kind of quantitative results and qualitative results, you want to know, how do I use the Bible, which is one of the four Hebrew levels of study, of Pashat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Drash, how do I apply this text? How do I walk it out? How do I use it in a life application? That's critical. So other than just memorizing the 150 Psalms, those of you that are in difficult situations that need to cut out some difficult trouble, problem, issue in life, now you have to deal with the issue, but if something is stranglehold, giving you a stranglehold and pulling you down and in your mind, it's in your face, if you will, and just choking you, you need to know how to use the Psalms so when you cry out for help to God, and God says, I've already given you the prescription for that. As you apply the medicine of Holy Scriptures to your body and to your needs, it will free you because the word that you know, the word that you experience, the word that you become intimate with, that you become one with, is that word, which is truth, that is going to free you. You understand? That's going to free you. So you need to know, just like a good doctor. And you all should be doctors of souls and bodies. Someone comes in with a particular emotional, mental, physical malady of any sort. You look with the Holy Spirit, God Himself's help, the third member of the triune God, the third of the personal self-distinctions of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who gives three personal self-distinctions of Himself by which He would have us know Him. Amen?
Amen.
So, amen. Thank you, Danielle. So recognize that the Mizmor Psalms are going to help us apply the fact that God has pierced the veil, that God has cut out the evil root. He's done it all. It shows us how God has sliced through the tares, how God cuts out the confusion, how God cuts off the chains of sin, how God is cut off of the body of sinful flesh by the circumcision of the Messiah, how God has rent the veil of the temple, allowing man into the presence of God. How God has severed death's hold on you, destroying the one who has the power of death over you, and that's the devil. How God has cleaved the sin of circumstances off you and put them on the cross of Christ at Calvary. On the cross of Christ at Calvary. All of it for all of you. And how God has penetrated your past and put it on a cross, that which is not good or of God. How God has parted the Sea of Reeds, wrongly called the Red Sea, in front of you, giving you reason to see Him with the eyes of faith. How God has separated you out of this world into His. How God has cleaved you out of customs of man to walk in the way of God. How God has rent the gates of Hades by His cross so that they will not prevail over you. They will not prevail over you. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Danielle. How God has separated you from you so the real you can shine through. How God has pierced the darkness of the devil's deception to free you to walk in the light of God and have fellowship with Him. For Yeshua says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Remember Psalm 119:54, it says, Thy statutes have been my songs, zimirot, songs in the house of my pilgrimage. So here it tells us one kind of zamar. Isn't this interesting? Zimirot, thy statutes, chukecha, from the word chok, which means statute. Those are my zamars, or actually in Hebrew, zimirot. Those are those things that will cut the bitterness out of my life and cut out this greatest chaos of the person, the very statutes of God. So I implore you to study the statutes of God and keep reading them, as John G. Lake has said, until they etch their way into your soul and make the dynamic change that you become that verse as it changes you. The Bible is the only book in the world that reads you. Now let's look at this understanding. Most of you, when you read the Psalms, will take a look, for example, at Psalm 20, which you remember from our list that we did earlier. We gave all of the Psalms that are mizmor, strong zamars in the Bible. These songs that pierce, that prune the greatest chaos of the person. That's a much deeper understanding as we translate the very letters of the Hebrew language applicable to this particular word. And remember, each letter has how many?
Seven
meanings, and we're applying those that are relative to what we're doing now at this level of teaching. Danielle is going to read for us. Everyone turn to Psalm 20 in the book of Psalms. Psalm 20, the first verse, please.
May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high.
Great. That's Psalm 20, verse 1, for those just joining us. In our English Bible, that's the first verse. However, in the original text, which is Hebrew, period, it is Hebrew, people, that is not the first verse. And often, if you're speaking to a Jewish person, you'll find you'll mention chapter 20, verse 1, or any other reference, and often they'll be offset by one or even more verses, because what we often consider the superscript, we have mistakenly not included that as part of the actual text, whereas in the original, it is a very part of the fabric and fiber of the original text and is necessary there, because it is the very word of God. And we violate a command in Deuteronomy 4:2 that says, in effect, to not add, delete, or change the word of God. Now, I'll read it to you, this, what is considered the superscript, but it's actually the first part of the verse, and then Danielle is going to translate that for us. Lamnatzeach mizmor leDavid.
For the choir director, a psalm of David.
Ah, it sounds like it's just a title. No. That is an actual part of the text. Lamnatzeach, for the choir director, here's that word, mizmor. That tells us what kind of psalm, that means what kind of pruning, or what kind of effect it's going to do for us. It is a song. It will prune the soul. It'll prune you and get the chaos out of the person, this chaos or confusion out of the person. And when you need those, here's the prescription. You go to those psalms and read them and experience them and apply that medicine to your soul and body, until the desired results, which are implicit in the word of God, over which he is watching to perform it, come to pass. With the faith that is that real chatzuf, or from the English, you'll get it often as chutzpah, that raw nerve, that relentless diligence, that absolute perseverance that knows no limit or bound until it accomplishes in true faith according to the will of God, 1 John 5:14-15, what God has ordained for us and has blessed us and already given us, Ephesians 1:3, that is our right and privilege to have purely by his grace, and not to go for that, not to reach for that, not to do that, to me, is a very clear symbol and statement of disobedience. Period. Danielle's going to read the whole first verse now with what is often considered the superscript.
For the choir director, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high.
Great. Now, look at the application. It tells you it's a Mizmor Psalm. So just looking at the first verse, what does that tell you? May the Lord answer you in what? In the
day of trouble.
Oh, in the day of trouble. So if you have trouble, and the day it's here, the day of trouble, and let's apply that in a personal life, your cry to use this psalm is to free you.
A Mizmor Psalm.
A Mizmor, a strong zamar, a strong song that pierces the greatest chaos or difficulties of that person.
Trouble.
The day of trouble. Mm-hmm. Then it follows with, may the name of the God of Jacob set you
securely.
Now, securely is in italics in your Bible, which means it's not part of the original, but it's supplied in order to make a smoother translation effect, in this case, in English. It says more accurately, may the name of the God of Jacob set you on high. And that particular terminology for on high means basically impregnably high. In this impregnable fortress on high, you're not able to be touched. That's wonderful. And you know from Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and find refuge. So here it says, may the name of the God of Jacob set you on high. You are to put yourself in a place in the name, which means what? In the character, in the essence, in the identity of God. And as you run into that, meaning you run to his nature, you run to his identity, you run to his essence. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe in Proverbs 18, verse 10.
That's why it's important to know the names of the Lord and what they mean.
And we did extensive teachings, which you'll find on our website, on the very names of God. And you'll find that our website is located at forhisglory.org. That's www.forhisglory.org. That's O-R-G. forhisglory.org. So all of the Mizmor Psalms, we'll look at another two briefly, and I gave you the whole list earlier, Psalm 40, and then we'll do 41. We'll all turn together to Psalm 40, then Psalm 40 in the book of Psalms, and this is actually still in the book of Psalms in book 1, and related to Genesis. When you study, you should study them together.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry.
Great. Now, I'm going to have it read it again. Everybody listen carefully. Psalm 40, verse 1.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry.
What a wonderful thing to hear, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
What a wonderful thing to hear that you're waiting, thank you, Danielle, patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. Patiently or intently for the Lord. Good. Now, she's actually missing part of the verse, because what is in the Bible I have here also is just listed as a superscript, and in Hebrew, it is quite something different. It's Lamnatzeach le David Mizmor. Danielle is going to translate it and read the whole first verse now, back using the original as a guideline.
For the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry.
Very good. Now I'm actually going to translate it tighter for you. And it says, Lamnatzeach le David Mizmor. So it says, for the choir director, for David, a psalm. It's a different order, and that makes a distinct difference.
Yes.
So look at the first verse. I waited intently for Yahweh, for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. Many times people are waiting for the Lord and they get wrong thoughts in their head. God didn't hear me. It's taking a long time. He's not doing this. Whereas in Luke 18, 1 to 8, he tells you that he answers the elect speedily.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get the junk out of our head or else we get clogged up. We can't hear, think, or feel straight. Therefore, this psalm is a Mizmor psalm. It'll cut the junk out. We won't have time to do 41 today, but I enjoin you to study them all. And as you apply it as a Mizmor psalm, it's going to cut the problem out because he says, and he heard my cry. Now you do that until it becomes flesh in your life.
When you have any troubles, any problems, pick one of these Mizmor psalms and say it.
Say
and believe it.
Eat it, live it, do it, believe it until you become it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.